Welcome to the Advice Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, once again and always, Philip. And tonight's topic, welfare and personal responsibility. Now, this particular topic of welfare is always up for a heated debate. As I stated before in the description, some people feel they shouldn't give out welfare at all. Some people feel that welfare should be given. Some people feel like they're entitled to receive welfare. There's many different spectrums, so on this particular show, I want to discuss that, discuss some welfare statistics, put some arguments to bed on different myths about who's receiving welfare and who isn't receiving welfare. Rest assured that everyone is receiving welfare. No one people group is exempt from receiving welfare. I definitely want to put that out there before I get into the statistics. Now, I'll be riding solo tonight on this particular show. My homegirl, Gabriella, is not going to join us because she is in Africa. Actually, when she gets back, she's going to actually join the show for good, and me and her be rocking on the show together. Anyway, now back into the particular topic. Welfare. It is something that a lot of people can relate to. Some people, I want to get into this first part of it, feel you should not give out welfare at all, is that there are those who are abusing the system. I want to definitely talk about that. There are people that are abusing the system. Let's, you know, put this out there first and forefront. There are people that have food stamps and welfare, and yet they're in the line when the new Jordans come out. They got the Jordan 28th coming out, and they're going to be $250. I can guarantee you and bet my paycheck that there'll be those in line with the food stamp cards and welfare, but yet they are receiving welfare. Why is that? If you can afford Jordans, then why are you receiving welfare benefits? That I do not understand. There are people who are receiving welfare benefits and walking around with an iPhone 5 or Samsung Galaxy S3. Those phones are expensive. There aren't free phones. So why is this happening? There are people that who is receiving Medicaid and going to the doctor basically free, but yet they got the latest clothes on their bodies. Why is that? You step outside, they got cars, newer cars, not, you know, Humpties or Pintos. They got rims on their cars. Their cars look good. They're dressing good, but yet they're on welfare. Why is this? And those people are the ones why people say, you know what, we're sick and tired of welfare. And it is not fair. I want to put that out there. It is not fair to people like myself and many other hardworking American people. They have to get up and go out to those jobs every day, put up with some boss that's always talking crap just because he know you won't go upside his or her head because you want to keep your job, deal with that all day, get home, you know, trying to put food on the table for you, to feed your family, you know, take care of your vehicle, do all this stuff, and you get no help out from the government whatsoever. And then you can look at people down the other side of town that their rent is for free, or they may be staying in a rent house and it's a Section 8 house and they're only paying like $16 a month while you're paying $1,000 or $800 or $600 or $1,500, whatever you're paying, just for instance, for your rent or mortgage. Now, is that right and is that fair? When they're healthy and able-bodied to go to work just as much as you hate to hear, excuse me, y'all, I'm getting tongue-tied, healthy and able-bodied to go to work. For instance, tomorrow morning, I got to get myself up 5:20 in the morning and go work a 12-hour shift. It is cold right now, and I got to get up in the cold and go work. I can't lay around all day and just don't worry about my bills. I have to get up and go actually work for a living. There are those that tomorrow morning, they will just be turning over in their beds at 5:20 in the morning, healthy and able-bodied people, and they don't have to worry about the lights because they get a discount for that. They don't have to worry about putting food on the table because they get food stamps for that. Everything they do is paid for by the government. And there are people that are third, fourth, and fifth welfare recipients, generations. Now, why is that going on? There are people, believe it or not, in this country that love to live on the system. They don't want to hear no talk of it. They want to be on the system. And if you talk about this particular issue, it's a problem. You can't tell them and give them a check to their foolishness that, hey, wait a minute. If I got to go to work, you got to work. oh, well, it's hard out here. It's not hard. You just got to go out there and make some of yourself. It's times I had to work two jobs to make it, two of them. And last time I did that, I was flipping hamburgers at McDonald's, and I was going to stock groceries. One that job after another. I only had maybe about 7 hours off in between to sleep, and I had to get up and go do it right again because that one job was not paying enough. I could not sit there and stand just doing the bare minimum to try to make it and try to send my girl to go get some sort of assistance. That's not what you should do. That is, I'm sorry, being lazy. And this is the problem that a lot of people have with the welfare system. But let me quote you some statistics on some things. Now, when they talk about food stamp assistance, and this really comes from the United States Department of Agriculture, they say the average household size of food stamp recipients is 2.3 persons, and the average gross monthly income is $640. So in order for you to get this particular help, you got to live within the poverty level. And the poverty level in the United States is a little bit around $26,000 a year. Now, why do you want to make that much money, if that money at all, to stay on the system? I don't get that. I mean, you would tell people, no, I don't want to work that particular job. It's going to mess up my health. I've heard people say that. Oh, no, I can't take this job because it's going to cut out my Section 8. You know, they got people coming there talking about asking the people at the apartment for extension on their rent, and they only paying $12. I'm like, you kidding me? That's why I don't stay in no areas except Section 8. I go in there and ask them if I had to move somewhere, do you accept Section 8? And if they say yes, I'm not staying there. Because I'm sorry, it's a certain element of people come with that Section 8. Not all, but I've just seen it. You know, because think about it. You're getting something for free. Do you really care about how you take care of it? I mean, think about it. But if you actually had to grit up and go work every day for something, you would take care of it a whole lot better. That's why most people that see ghettos or whatever or low-income housing, why it looks so bad is because the people don't have to go out and work for it to make it look good or take any kind of pride in what they're doing. But let me read the next particular statistic. They say children make up 51% of food stamp recipients, and 65% of them reside in single parent households. So as you can see, most of your food stamp recipients are single parent households. And I know they have some single fathers out there, but most of it is single mothers. Whether it's, you know, it don't matter the race, it's single mothers. And I get some single mothers are in a bind. I get that. Some of them are in a position where they can't really do for the kids that they're supposed to do. And I get some situations, the men don't do what they're supposed to do for their children. They'll make these children with these women, but they don't want to take care of them. These children still got to eat. I get that. In situations like that, I understand. If you are like hard on your look for a few months or whatever, or even a good year, I understand. But it doesn't take 5 years and 10 years to get out of a situation. That's a lie. That is a definite lie to say you always struggling. Like, man, I seen you 10 years ago. You still struggling and still on welfare and food stamps? Like, you just trying to make a lifestyle off of that. Then these guys get with these particular type of women, know they own the system, and they shoot. They're going to move in their house and everything. And these guys don't work. But say, why should they work? People like myself and other people who's hardworking and able-bodied is paying the bill. So why should they? That's why they need to change the laws on this welfare recipient, because I don't think it's right. Because let's say if somebody like me who's going to get myself at work all the time have an issue or problem with a job, just because of the income I was making, I couldn't go down there and get the help. Now, that's wrong. I've been paying into the system. Why can't I get any help? How come this female down the street with 3-4 kids can get assistance and then pay a lick of dime into the system, no taxes whatsoever, and she can get all the help, but somebody like me is putting a good amount into the system, I couldn't get a lick of anything because I work or I have worked. Is that right? Is that right for any of you to not receive that? Especially how jobs are getting scarce. They don't know how to fix the economy. So, you know, companies are folding, companies are laying off. You know, and you should be able to go to those programs and be able to get on something, because it's not right that you worked and yet you can't get any type of assistance, but this chick down the street can get $1,000 in food stamps, and then the killing part about it, that same female will be selling food stamps. Yeah, I don't know if you know the game about that, but there are people that sell food stamps for cash. Let's say if she get $1,000 a month in food stamps, she'll be like, she'll tell somebody, hey, I need some money. You know, you want to buy some food stamps. So they'd be like, well, how much money you need? They say, well, shoot, I need $100. So the person be like, okay, well, some people do it like this. You know, half a half, like in other words, for every dollar, you'll get, let me see how it works. For every 50 cents of food stamps, you know, you're getting a dollar. So it's half and half. So for instance, if you go and give the chick $100, she'll give you $200 worth of food stamps. That's what I mean by that. So she gets her $100 she wants. She gives $200 in food stamps because, you know, good well, her kid's not going to eat $1,000 in food stamps. So that's why this chick be selling food stamps every month. They got females out here selling food stamps for drugs, you know, selling, I mean, all kind of stuff I've seen as a particular welfare fraud. And these people don't have the resources to catch them doing these sort of things. And this is why it gets people upset. This is why it gets people mad. Now, let everyone know, the call-in number 347-996-3350. You can call in at any time and share your grievances about welfare, because it isn't right and it isn't fair to people who work. I mean, and it's not even fair to the kids that in these families either, because why should a child suffer because their parent is lazy? They don't want to work. And don't give me this about, oh, well, it's because I'm black. Oh, well, because I'm this, I'm because I'm that. Man, let me tell you something. I'm so sick and tired of hearing that excuse. I'm a black man, so that's why I'm discussing the black portion of it. I'm black, okay? I'm a dark-skinned black man at that. One of the worst things you possibly could be, okay? And I do it. I make it. I work hard to do everything. I ain't letting nobody hold me back. But let me get to a call. I see a call coming through. Call 6832. You on the show?
Hey, how you doing now? This is Jay.
How you doing, Jay?
All right. You know, I'm listening to the show, and I listen to the show. I watch a YouTube show. I really enjoy it. I grew up on welfare, and my
Me
mother
too.
Was on it. And, you know, I was one of the families that benefited from it. But I also grew up around other individuals who, like you said, they had the brand new Acuras, you know, the brand new Cadillacs with the rims on it and everything, and they had gold and everything, and they was misusing it. But see, what I think is going on here is if you never teach a baby how to walk, the baby never learns how to walk. So you got a lot of these people who have become used to this. They become mentally just conditioned to this. And like you said, it's four or five generations of it. You need to do some things to make individuals acquire this money. No, they're not working for it, but let's find some programs, some things they can do to volunteer, and at the same time try to incorporate skills. Just giving a person a reason to get up and get dressed and get out the house every day can lead them to a better pattern that will lead them to a job that will lead them to getting off of welfare, because you can't get a job because you're unemployable. If you're unemployable, you won't get past the interview.
Well, let me ask you a question, brother. All those programs you're talking about do exist. All that stuff exists. Everything you say exists. It's not that you can't find it. It's these people don't want to do it, and they don't want to do it because, the food stamp card coming every single month. Why should I do this? See, in my opinion,
but it shouldn't be optional. The program
shouldn't be optional. To me,
should
you
should
be on
the welfare. You want this food stamp card? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'll say in my opinion, you shouldn't be on welfare no more than 18 months. That's enough.
Exactly. Exactly.
That is
and
enough.
If it was just 18 months, you wouldn't be training your child to grow up and turn 18 and go apply for it. Because
exactly.
That's what's happening. The child sees my mom gets this and does nothing. When I turn 18, I'm going to apply for the low-income housing. I'm going to also move into a low-income housing. I'm also going to go ahead and get food stamps. And then I'm going to give birth to a child that's going to do the same thing. And it's just a repeated cycle. But if you force people to do stuff, they will do it. you tell them you got to go fill out a paper once a month to get the money, they do it. So you tell them, hey, you got to get up every single day, Monday through Friday, and do X, Y, Z, or else you don't get the money. Same thing with unemployment. Unemployment say, if you don't go on a job search, because when I was unemployed for 6 months, I had to go on a job search just to get the unemployment money.
Yeah.
That same thing needs to be implemented with welfare. You won't get that on that first. You won't get that on the ninth, whatever your day is. Nothing's going to be on that card because you did not do X, Y, Z.
Well, what you said about unemployment is true. Same thing in Texas. You got to show that you're looking for jobs. But see, what a lot of people do to continue to get unemployment, but they don't really want to work, they sabotage
exactly.
their interviews. They sabotage everything so that people won't hire them. So they say, hey, I'm out there looking for a job. They just won't hire me. But yeah, but they sabotaging it in the process because they know how to run the game. And it's all about
exactly
game.
What you said, put a limit on it. When you
That's
put
right.
limits on things, you can regulate the game plan. Because I tell you, I pay taxes, and I feel like, hey, I'm paying taxes, and I don't mind helping out some other families with children in it who are children like me. But I don't
mm-hmm.
want to help Ray Ray, who is just want to take his little $120, buy some dope and double it up, and then corrupt the community and kill more people and buy rims that I can't even afford because my check had to go on bills and kids and food.
Exactly. I mean, it's a racket. But you know what? This government, the way it's going, they're gonna cut that eventually. It's coming because they're gonna have no choice but to cut that. And then what they gonna do then? They say, you know what? You know, the state's gonna
right.
start individually doing it. I see it coming, and they're gonna say, you know what?
Oh,
we can't afford
come.
To give it out. We can't.
We
you heard? I think it was in Michigan.
I saw your show. I saw your show where you did with the lady who was cooning, and she was like, "Oh, I'm thankful." Don't put it on Obama like he's not gonna do nothing about it. Don't act like Obama is for laziness because, like I tell everybody when Obama first became president, don't sit back and look at him as the answer. Look at him as an example of what you can do if you got off your lazy butt and activated yourself in a community doing mm-hmm. something, doing something. And he's going to do something about it. Yeah, Mitt Romney did not become president, thank God, but because he would have made it even worse, even quicker. But Obama's not going to let it go unchecked. If something's going to happen to it, people are going to either see it go all the way or it's going to be some cut. Just like any other organization, when you see the organization falling apart, you either have to make cuts or shut
mm-hmm.
the company down.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to cut this stuff out in a lot of ways. See, if like I had discussion with many people, like I said, I couldn't be president because they probably kill me. Because I would come with swift cuts so quick, they would hate me. Because I said the first thing I would say with the welfare reform would be this. You can be on welfare no more than 18 months. And the only way you can apply for welfare, you must bring 2 years of income tax returns. Now, why I say 2 years of income tax returns? It can prove
yeah.
that you paid into the system. I don't think it's right if a family that was working, they lost their job, why can't they get on the system? You know what I'm saying? Why should
yeah.
they be penalized? Because they work.
It shows you should help them.
Your
membership card. That's like
That's
your
right.
membership card to get the benefits of welfare is like a membership. You work, you pay. Now it's time for you to receive, you know, the just due. And that's not to say about people that's disabled. That's a whole other show and all.
We're not even
so that's
talking
a whole
about
other
disability.
Program.
I'm talking
about the ones
healthy,
exactly.
able-bodied people that be at the mm-hmm. club drinking and
yep.
smoking and twerking and everything. That's the ones I'm talking about, you know,
When I was 15, I had a summer job working for the Department of Welfare, and I got that through the city and whatnot. And the summer job, I was at lunch with my supervisor, and we're sitting there, and this car pulls by, loud music, nice rim, paint. He said, I just got through talking to that lady. She just got through telling me she didn't have no money and blah, blah, blah. He was like, man, these people, and just to show you, you know, it's not. They don't have any kind of morals about the situation. They come up to the county building, flashing off everything, all their ill-gotten gains, but then still try to act like, you know, they can't work, they can't do this. You was able to get up to the rim shop. You was able to get up to the sound shop. You should be able to get up to work.
Well, let me tell you another game they run. My wife, she used to work social work too, and she say what a lot of these women do, would they have husbands? they go up there and they say that they're separated and they live at their mama house or whatever, but the whole time they're living with their man. So they get the food stamps because they say they're separated, and the man, what he says is, oh, I'm paying her so much child support, and we got a deal. And he, so what he does, they send, the man will send her the money in the form of a money order. So that, hey, I'm paying child support on my kids. We just decided to do it between each other. And but yet, no, they're actually living together. And yeah. that's the game they run, and they get that food stamp. So if they got like 3-4 kids, they get all that food stamps, and this chick can pull up in a Mercedes Benz if she wants. If it's not in her name, they can't say it's hers.
Which goes back to my whole point of, if you can make, if you got that much intelligence to run that type of game,
mm-hmm.
have that much intelligence to start your own business. Have that much intelligence to create new jobs so other people can have jobs too. Because there's a lot of intelligent crooks out here, and a lot of them have took their ill-gotten intelligence and when it, like burglars, they go into home security jobs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got all this intelligence, use it positively.
Yeah, but see, it's a four-letter curse word that you're forgetting to say why they won't do it, and that four-letter curse word is called work.
True.
It takes work to do everything you're talking about. Yeah, they may have the knowledge. Obviously, we see they got the knowledge to run the game on the system, but they don't want to put in the hard work. They don't want to put in the elbow grease. They don't want to do that. They want to eat.
Plantation. I don't know what happened.
Shoot, I know what happened. The whole that's a total different show in itself. What happened to us after integration? But you know, like I said, it's not just us because we aren't the, you know, and I was gonna get into that. We aren't the top recipients of welfare. We're really not. Black folks is not. You know. But it's spun in the media. That's why I don't like mainstream media on a lot of fronts, is because they have propaganda and they spin things a certain way to get people to believe a certain way.
True.
They really do.
But we also help them. We help them. We help them a lot. You know,
believe it or not,
that's
a small brother, it's a small minority of us that's doing that.
Right.
It makes it seem like it's all of us, because if you show in the media all the time those that's doing these sort of things, you would think, wow, black people are this way. But they don't give the brothers and sisters shine who are doing something positive. They don't. Or who are just making it, or business owners, or good fathers, or good mothers, or whatever. Like, you never question why they don't show black men who work hard and love their family and good family men. You never question that, but they're always showing the thug and and everybody else. You never question that? Or why they don't
That's what gives ratings.
You know, the black woman that, you know, a business owner, or a black woman that who's just doing it, you know. But no, they rather show the black woman that twerks, or the black woman that's, you know, basketball wives or whatever. You know what I'm saying? At least in our community. You know?
Right.
It's a way that the media spins things. Or you can even talk about the Latino community. They always spinning them as immigrants. They got a lot of them here that's been here for until
that never left.
They was always here, but the media spin them as, you know, immigrants. I mean, that's why I like that.
Well, I'm in California, and
what part?
Southern California, Los Angeles, and I tell them all the time.
I
should
have known that from the area
code.
I don't know why I didn't think about it.
Yeah, I tell them all the time. You know, I know where I'm at. I know that, you know, a lot of y'all never left, and this is so close to Mexico that we might as well say it is, and it just is what it is. I don't fight against it, you know, because it's too many.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like when it comes, like, say, to the welfare, you know, and everything, they just need to get a handle on that. Now, Texas, they are pushing legislation to do drug screens to get welfare.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, do you know that's being met with a lot of opposition?
But, you know, they've already started some things like that out here for financial aid at school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you've been charged of a drug charge, you can't get financial aid. If you don't have a high school diploma, you can't get financial aid either. So it's like they're trying to press different regulations. I think that's a good regulation. I mean, if you own crack, it's a 9 times out of 10% chance the money's going to go to the crack before the food.
Exactly.
I'm not going to say all of them, because I've known a lot of functional crack addicts that have to put their family first and then put their drug second, but that didn't last long until the drug took them over, you know. There's no good spin on that, you know. So, if you got drugs in your system, you know, heavy drugs and whatnot, and you, because, you know, we Californians, you got a medical marijuana license, not a drug. But I saw your show on that one, too, which is right. If you got those jobs, you need to stay away from it, period. But like I was saying, if you've got illegal drugs in your system, then there is a problem. Maybe they should cut them off. Maybe they should say, hey, if you don't get into some sort of rehab service concurrent with this money coming, the money will be cut off then.
Yeah, because, you know, my thing is this, you know, it's like I just think they just need to take a extreme tough love approach and tell them, listen, you got X amount of, you know, time to get off of it. And if he's like, oh, well, I can't take care of my kids, I can't feed my kids, say, well, this is how it's going to work. For those of you that's been on it for years upon years, if you can't feed them, we in the state will take them, because since you're not a fit parent. So you make a choice.
So it was created as temporary assistance. And
yeah,
that's what
forget. Temporary turns into 10 years.
It was supposed to be temporary assistance to get you on your feet, not to help you live and raise families that's going to get on it too.
Exactly. That's exactly what
It's, I don't know. It's gonna be a hard task because there's so many people. It's just like when I'd rather give it to people and risk the chance of them misusing it than risk not giving it to someone who needs it. You know, it's like when I go to the store and I see an individual asking for money. I've been in a position in my life once upon a time when I was homeless. So whenever I see someone ask for money, I don't think, are they going to use it for drugs? Are they going to use it for alcohol? I just give them whatever change I got because I'd rather give them a change and they use it for good than me not give it to them and they could have really needed it for some food. So that's why I look at welfare. I'd rather give it to them, put a time limit on it, but give it to wherever pies for it and falls within the criteria for it because I'd rather give it to them than not give it to them at all and risk some child going hungry.
Well, see, my thing is, I don't have no problem, like I stated before. There are people who actually need welfare and need actual help and don't want to be on welfare. That's the people I feel should be on it because they won't be on it long. So if you tell them, listen, I'm going to give you 18 months to get whatever you got to get together, and if you can't get it together in 18 months, then we need to figure out why. Okay, but, yeah, there's a lot of kids that need, you know, the help. I get that. But we got to start weaning people off somewhere because some people have kids just to get on the system, too. It's like kids, it's like, oh, that's your meal ticket. That's why some of these females just have baby after baby after baby, and they don't care what kind of guy it is. They just want the baby because the baby is the meal ticket.
Yes.
That's the problem.
I grew up around a lot of those, you know. And back in the day, you remember, the county would give more money as you had children. So it was more of an incentive for them to keep having more children. Because I don't think they do that anymore, but I know back in the day they did give extra money after each child.
Well, I know on food stamps, let's say here in Texas, that the more children you have, the more food stamps you're going to get.
Well, see, it may be the same. I don't know, you know. But that's what I hear. I heard you talking about selling food stamps. I think that's one of the reasons why they changed it to a card in the first place.
They still do it with the card? Yeah, I heard you saying, yeah, but they still, because what they do is they go with them to the store. And then they buy the stuff, they swipe the card for them, they give them the cash, that's it.
And you
so
know,
that card doesn't stop nothing.
I mean, it's something, you know. And it's like if you want people to shut it down, this is the type of things you keep doing. This is the type of behavior you have if you want this program to be gone. You know, and I know a lot of people who need it. I was one who needed it myself. I'm not on it at this point. You know, who knows where life will take you. You might need it again, you know. So it's good that it's there. And I think that the people misusing it, you know, got it strong. And karma comes around. And 18 months is a good regulation. But anything, and drug testing, that's cool. Maybe we should get the people to go back to the houses like they used to do. They used to go out to the houses and do house checks.
And what they need, and also, brother, what they need to start doing, and that'll curb the behavior too. They not only go into the house and check, but if they catch you, they need to start prosecuting you for welfare fraud. I guarantee you start prosecuting them and making examples out of them, that'll stop.
Right, right.
But see, they don't go do that. And that's something else that needs to be pushed. Checks and prosecution.
No law is going to be adhered to without a consequence. That's point blank. That's
exactly.
Like when I'm my kids. If my kids, I tell my kids don't do XYZ, and they do XYZ and nothing happens to them, they're going to keep doing XYZ. So if you don't enforce a law, the law is not a law. It's just what you, your opinion.
Give me a second, brother. Let me check on something here. Caller, it says poverty is supreme.
Highly blessed, brother. Highly blessed, family.
Yes, what's your name?
Poverty Supreme.
Okay, what question you have?
What question? I just really had a statement, you know. I feel we as black people, we deserve to have something. I mean, with the system against us, in all types of ways, in all, doesn't matter if you're in any, whatever the class system, whatever the demographics, education system, the black man is at the bottom and the white man is at the top. And
what country are you calling
dynamic,
from, sir?
I'm calling from the UK, brother.
From the UK, and you say, though, okay, so why do you feel the white man's at the top in your life?
Why do I feel? Well, I'm just saying is that when we go to school, we're taught by them. When we go to the shop, it's usually someone who's not black who owns the business, you see? When you go out to work, you're usually having to get all dressed up to go and get interviewed by a white person. A majority of the time, how many times? I mean, if you go out there and you apply for 100 jobs, I would guarantee 90% of the time you're going to be interviewed by someone who's non-black, you know? I mean, that's just the state of the world. You know, wherever the white and the black dynamic exists, the white man is at the top and the black man is at the bottom. You know, this is just...
It's not the white and the black, it's the way we perceive the white and the black. I don't even think it's a white and the black issue because white people and black people are both receiving this aid. You go to the middle of Ohio,
that's right,
or Wisconsin somewhere, and they're receiving that aid too.
Now you talking about the aid? Well, let me interject this. You know, on the welfare statistics in the United States of America, 41% of white people are receiving welfare benefits, and 36% of blacks are receiving it. So, but in American media, it's spent like blacks are receiving it all.
Yes. So, and that's the same way Britain perceive it. Now, there's a newspaper in Britain, right, called The Sun, and they were catching out benefit cheats. And when you look, and if you actually look at, when I was reading that newspaper every day, it's a newspaper owned by Rupert Murdoch, when I was reading that newspaper, and I was, every day I was reading it, and they were catching out, they were exposing benefit cheats, they were always white, Caucasian, who was doing the biggest cheats. But let me tell you one of the crimes and the dirty dealings of these devils. Now, they must have, there was one white lady, Caucasian lady, who was receiving benefits for six disabled children. And in reality, she only had two children, and they weren't even disabled. And she was playing for those two to say that that they were disabled. Now, she was receiving £20,000 a year.
£2,500 a year?
No, £20,000 a year.
Okay, I'm about to, because you're telling me that, I need to convert that to American money so I can see. You said 2,200 or 22,000?
20,000. Plus, brother, she was receiving free housing.
Free housing? Wow.
As well. And she was receiving £20,000.
Okay, so 20,000 British pounds is $32,234. So basically, yep. She was receiving over $32,000 U.S. money, bro.
Yep.
A month.
No, a year.
Oh no, a year.
A year.
Oh, year. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Man, that's a good hustle.
I'm about to
pass
out.
That's a good hustle, man.
But that's still, yeah. I mean, that's more than America.
Yeah.
Because what is it, 22,000?
20,000 pounds a year.
20,000 pounds, so it's over 32,000 of our money, man.
And what is America's welfare a year?
Well, you can't make over 26,000 a year to be on the system.
Wow.
So that's the poverty level here in the U.S.
Well, there you go. Everybody who's misusing it, move to the U.K.
No, but
let me ask you about the U.K., man. So when you go get the benefits, is it a card? Is it a food card? I mean, how is it in the U.K.? Because this is my first time hearing about it.
Okay, they call it JSA. It's not really a card. They give you cash every 2 weeks.
Okay.
If you're not working, they give you cash. They give you like £140.
£140. So let me
every
let me,
2 weeks.
£140. So let me convert that so we know what we're talking about here.
Thank you.
Okay, so basically every 2 weeks they're giving them $225.64 in U.S. money.
Yeah. Every 2 weeks.
Wow.
Every 2 weeks. Well, that's
And free housing. And free housing.
So they get free housing. No payments at all.
What I mean free housing is that, say you're living in a property and you can't pay the rent, you're out of work, the government will pay for your housing. From then on.
Do you have some sort of unemployment payments as well since you're unemployed?
Well, you just pay normal taxes.
A limitation for that service? Do they have a certain limit of months that they can be on that particular aid until they find a job?
No, there's no indefinite time, no.
Okay, so like the United States. In the UK is like the same on a lot of things.
Oh, wow.
The only thing you have to do in Britain, right, is if you're dealing with that service, they would ask you, the job centre, that's what we call it out here, the job centre, they will require you to tell them how you've been, tell them what jobs you've tried to, basically you've got a sheet and they tell you you have to show them proof that you've been applying for jobs.
Mm.
But they don't actually call it up or nothing like that. So it's not, they just want you to see that you've written it down and you give it to them. But after a certain amount of time, like if you've been on it for too long, maybe a year or so, they will make you have to work for a month for free, basically. So you'd have to work for a month. You'd still get the same benefit.
There you go. Yeah, they make them do something to keep their work ethics up.
Yes,
that's,
for a month. Free,
well, that's
free
good.
Labor.
Let me ask you a question, Mr. Poverty, since I don't know your name. Let me ask you a question. It's outside of welfare, but how does the child support system work in the UK? Because I'm very curious to know.
Well, I mean, it works the same way like the United States. You know, if the woman's going up and she's claiming benefits, and say for example, the benefits agency will ask them if their man's around, you know, and if they say no, then they'll get more money. They can claim more money, but if they say if they want to get claim money from the man, they can.
Ooh, you're breaking up.
Oh, sorry.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you.
If the woman can get money off the man if she puts his name forward, but it's more profitable to her to say that he's not around.
Now, do they charge the man the money?
Well, they wouldn't charge him the money. They will still give the woman a money, but it depends upon the man's job and how much money he's earning.
Okay, now if you don't pay. If he don't pay this money, will he go to jail?
No. Well, yeah, he could do. But if he's signing on, right? Say, for example, he hasn't got a job. They'll just take a little, maybe £20 out of his benefits, and they'll pay the rest.
£20 a month for him?
Pounds a week, probably, yeah. A week, if he's not working.
Man, 20 pounds. So 20 pounds is $32, man.
Yeah, but they will make the rest.
$32 a week. About $180 a month. All right.
Yeah, so if you're not working, you all you got to give the food, all you got to give child support in the UK is $32, and they'll handle the rest for you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, if you're not working.
Shoot, that's not bad. I wish you answered like that.
Hey,
yeah,
you may need to move to the UK.
Yeah, we may have to move to the UK, man.
Yeah, the advice show, UK.
Yeah, I know, right?
That shit. We know that this was done to break up the black family, bruv, family. I don't think it's a good thing. Because a lot of sisters out here, I mean, I know maybe 10, 20 years ago, they were women were having children just so they could get a place to live.
So basically,
wow.
In the UK, in the UK, you're doing the same thing like the United States then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Playing the welfare game. Do they sell? We were talking about here selling food stamps. Do they sell the food, the meat, whatever word you called it, a JSA, whatever you called it. I don't know. Do they sell them to people?
No, you can't sell them because that's why they give us it in cash. They give
they give you cash.
So you can't really make.
So
they
no
don't give them
sell
food
them, they're getting cash.
Yeah, they're getting cash.
Yeah.
There's no reason. Okay.
They give them cash, so you know you can't really pull that.
Okay.
But like
so
I said, people
they're in a better
say they've got more kids.
They don't have to sell it for 50% off. They get the whole money.
Yeah. But see, they actually got to spend the money on feeding them, though. And really what they do, according to him, basically, they're giving them a little bit over $500 a month. But now I don't know if they give it. Now, do they give it to them how many kids they have, or they just have that limit, like every 2 weeks?
I think with the kids, if you've got children, they'll give the woman £60 a week per child, right? Plus, they'll get a standard money every month again. They'll get another, like, at the end of the month, they'll get extra £40, I think. And then the woman gets money as well because she's not working as well.
And okay, so you said she gets £60 per child, correct?
She'll get £60 per child every week.
Every week, okay.
My God.
So £60, bro, is like $96.
Yeah, and then an additional £40 at the end of the month.
Money.
Every month.
An additional £40, which comes out to $64 US. And then how much would she get a month if she don't work?
Yeah, then she'll get the normal JSA. Now, she doesn't have to declare how she's been looking for work. She has to go to the job center every 6 months. So basically, there's a lot of women just staying in the house smoking weed, right? And having lots of kids.
So hold on, man. Hold on. So you mean to tell me the same thing that's going on here in America is going on in the UK?
Yes, brother.
Oh, man.
Well, remember that song? All around the world is the same song.
Man.
All around the world is the same song.
Well, not in third world countries like Jamaica, where my family come from. You ain't got none of that.
Yeah, cause they broke. They ain't giving out nothing.
Get smacked inside the head. You try to do that.
Let me ask you a question. How does the people feel over there when they know these people are basically welfare recipients? How do they feel about it? Those who work.
Well, you got these devils who try and make it look like it's black people who are taking up all the benefits when mm-hmm. it's really and truly they haven't done their numbers. It's actually white folk. White folk are 85% in Britain. Black folk are only 2%, and that's including the Africans. You see, the Caribbean blacks that are in the UK are only 1.2%. But you know.
Wow.
So the same propaganda ads they're doing out here to make it look like majority of black people are on the welfare, they're doing it in the UK, what it sounds like. They're trying to make it seem
what he's telling us, it's not hardly no black folks over there. It's only 2%.
Right.
But they're only in one end.
Is that correct? Most of the black people are in one particular area. Isn't that right?
Yes. We're all boxed up in certain areas. So, like, where I live, there's lots of blacks. But if you go out to somewhere like Kent or you go out to another place like Hastings or Southend, you're going to see nothing but whites.
Right.
Wow.
You know? But they've got us mostly in London. And there's parts in London where you won't see no blacks, like the West End. And the only time
right.
you see black folk at West End is if they're shopping in central London.
Like tourists.
Yeah.
Yeah, like yeah, kind of like tourists. Okay. Well, that's something. That is something. See, you know, I have not talked to anybody from the UK about how it is over there for brothers and sisters. I don't know, so that's why I'm asking you a lot of questions.
You can ask me anything you want, brother. I'll answer you that. I'll answer if I know what it is.
Yeah, well, shoot. Let me ask you another question about, is it all the sisters over there trying to emasculate the men, like a lot of it going here in America?
How do you mean?
In other words, trying to run the man, trying to make him be like the little girl.
Oh,
like,
of
she
course.
Run everything.
No, of course. The same. Because you can understand, brother. When I was younger, back in, say, 94 to maybe 2004, right? I used to listen to a lot of hip-hop music from America. A lot of West Coast hip-hop. Do you see what I'm trying to say?
Like who?
I used to listen to guys like Sebo, Tupac. If you weren't from the West Coast, because I kind of took on that East Coast, West Coast thing. So I tried to stay my away from anything New York rappers, you know? I only listened to the West Coast. And we were putting up signs like that. We would even have arguments in class about who's better, East Coast, West Coast.
But have you ever listened to
yeah,
Sugar Free?
Yeah, that's a whole
other show. Hey, have you ever listened to Sugar Free?
Yes, I've listened to Sugar
I love
Free.
Sugar
I
Free. That's like my favorite rap of all time.
Yes.
I got all his albums. I got his newest album. I got them all.
Yeah, I love Sugar Free.
And
he taught me so much.
What
he
you got, family? What you got, guys? Have got to understand is that we've got areas like all right in Gypsy Hill, which is in London. The young black youth, they've got a gang called Gypset. You see? In Toles Hill in London, which is near Brixton, they've got a gang called T-Block. T-Block?
Yeah, it's a lot of emulation of the... I see that a lot on YouTube. I see that a lot in the media and, you know, the little personal YouTubes that individuals put up, that a lot of the Western mentality, the negative mentality that a lot of us, like myself, had no choice but to grow up in and be a part of. People who do have a choice are starting to adopt those mentalities and create gangs and try to emulate the Blood and Crip movement in different countries and different states, which it baffles me because, you know, you don't have to do it. You know, we grew up in the middle of this. It was a way of life for us, but, you know, you guys choose to emulate it.
What you're saying, these people choosing to be on welfare?
Well, what he was saying was he had brought
yeah,
up...
I get what he's saying. I get what he's saying. They emulating, like, that gang culture, you know, like, you
right,
know, like Chris
right.
Wood, you know,
yeah,
Vice
yeah,
Lords, Gang
yeah.
Disciples, all that.
Right. But, hey, you asked that question, are you choosing to be on welfare? If I was in London and I was a female and I was broke and couldn't find a job, why not?
Shoot, man.
Why not? It sounds good.
It's a red carpet situation in the UK. It's called dropped out, but, you know, it may be a call back. But, shoot,
it sounds like
an
invitation.
Yeah.
It sounds like an invitation.
Yeah.
It sounds like an invitation. Wow.
Yeah, it's,
well, he was
I mean,
not, yeah, I enjoy his information.
Yeah, yeah, because I haven't really talked to anybody from over there to see, find out how it is, you know, and you know, I mean, I've heard a lot of brothers and sisters be, you know, they over there, but,
right.
you know, and a few of them come to my YouTube channel and talk to me about how things are in the UK, but I haven't had a chance to actually talk to them, you know.
Right, and like I said, most of the information I get is from people's YouTube pages who are in the UK and different groups or rap groups or different documentaries or whatnot, because I watched a documentary on a street gang in the UK that was really interesting on Netflix. So it's like, it's interesting. When you look into their lifestyle, it emulates a lot of things that are going on here. The whole, like you said, the emasculating of the males and whatnot. But that's a whole topic in itself.
That's because, the whole topic. Yeah, I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna wait to
when you ready for that topic.
Well, cause she actually,
you let me know.
Well, my homegirl, when she gets back from Africa, she told me she ready to jump into that topic actually. Cause she,
well, you,
that's
yeah,
not,
you let me know. Cause I truly tell you, I blame the missing daddies on whatever these women, whatever messed up issues women have in this world. It ain't their fault. It ain't their fault. They missed out on something growing up. Plain and simple.
That goes back to the also what I want to talk about too is personal responsibility, because like I said, welfare and personal responsibility go hand in hand, and
true,
you have a personal responsibility to choose the right person. So like you got a personal responsibility,
true,
to find a job, personal responsibility to
but
hang around.
A baby is not responsible. A baby
no, a
is
child
not responsible.
Not responsible. No,
and just because
child,
you're 32 years old don't mean you're an adult. If you've never
you ain't
been
lying
taught,
by them.
You still your mentality can still be that of a babe.
Too. My baby
so
mama was 35 years old when
that grown babes, a lot of these grown babes haven't been taught how to work. You know, I used to, I went from
working. Hold on, brother. Hold on,
at,
brother. Hey,
okay,
hey,
go ahead.
Poverty Supreme, you back, brother. Hey, Poverty, you hear me?
Okay. I was just going to hear you, brother. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Yeah, you know, the brother was saying, that we don't need to, you know, it's just like in America, like I said, you had like in the last 20, 30 years, you had people having children just so they could get a house. So there's a lot of bastardized, you know, a lot of women growing up kids by themselves in this country as well. Because, like I say, men ain't held to ransom like they are in America to pay child support. And like I said, the woman gets more benefits if she doesn't put say that the man's giving them money. If
in your opinion, that men who pay child support in America, we held like we're being extorted.
Well, yeah, you're getting held. I don't think it's held. I think every man should have a responsibility
to
those
agree.
Children that are being brought into the world. And I was grown up in that sort of household as well. And what I'm saying is that a woman can't grow up a man, and that's why a lot of the boys, I mean, if you look at the majority of the boys that do all these, you know, who will go out there, sell drugs, drain gangs, kill another brother on the streets, because they've been grown up by a woman, you know, at a single parent household, you know, and there's a lot of poverty in this country because, well, I mean, where it is, right? And it's, I know it's the same in America. When you're wearing crap trainers that are not cool, basically, right? And when I was young, what made me do bad things, right, was that, you know, I didn't have the latest, the nice pair of trainers like everyone else had. People were getting £100 trainers, and you know there was a lot of money I could see in the community around me, but I was the only one broke. So when you're young and you see that, it makes you go out and want that. Do you see?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, let me ask you a question, Poverty. Like, I just did some calculations. Now, in America, I pay child support on my son. I converted so you can understand. I pay £540 a month in child support. You think that's a lot of money?
I don't think that's a lot of money. I think that's all right. I'm sure that's based on your wages, right? But it is quite a lot of money
still.
That is quite a lot of money. That might be half. Is that like a quarter of your wages? You must have a decent job then.
Yeah,
What was that in U.S.?
$870 a month.
God.
Mm.
Yeah, I pay for one child.
You got one child though, right?
Mm. Yeah, I pay for one
child.
That
you're paying for, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, that's not bad.
They do base it on your wages, right?
Yeah, so it's 20%. They base it off of, like, they have a percentage. And, like, in Texas, it's like, for instance, I got one child, so I pay, it's 20% of what I would make.
Well, you're a celebrity, so that's why they charge you that much.
Whatever. I'm just like you. I'm just like you. I ain't no celebrity.
What's your name, brother? Because you must be earning good money.
My name?
Yeah.
Oh, you ain't see, I guess, well, my real name is Philip, but I go by the Abaya Show, you know, on YouTube and here on Blog Talk Radio, and
check out
you know,
the YouTube, yeah.
Yeah. What's your YouTube, brother?
The Advice Show TV. Are you in the chat room? I can give you the link.
Yeah, I'm in the chat room. Carbon Radio. I've got a show as well.
Hold on, I'm putting in the chat room right now the link, and you can check it out.
Like you said last week on your show about child support, only people I feel that's paying too much is the ones who aren't educated. Well, I'm not in that position. I'm with my wife. I have all three of my children by the same woman, and we're happy. And I pray it stay that way, you know. But I know people, you know, I had a buddy, he was paying $1,500 for three children. And, you know, he felt that was too much because it was based on when he had a job. But then he lost his job. And I asked him, did you go back to court? And he was like, no. I was like, well, you know, I'm just assuming you could go back to court and tell the law, the law that, and they might change it. And he went to court. And I think they changed it for him. But like you said, if you're not educated, if you're not reading your documents and reading, I like how you said, you know, you'll say, hey, are you revoking my right to see my child? You know, you educated yourself so you know the proper language, the proper terminology, and the proper steps to take so you won't get bent over a barrel in this child
support
situation. Well,
that's the problem with a lot of men is that they aren't educating the law, at least the laws that concern you. Because these women are concerned, educating the law to concern them when it comes to welfare, when it comes to child support, anything. Oh, they know. That's why when you don't pay child support, that's why they going to the attorney general, because that can put you in contempt of court. But a lot of these men that say, I pay child support, but she won't let me see my child. I be like, oh, I get pissed when I hear them guys say that, saying, you putting up with it? I say, bring her behind to court. And she'll stop the first time that judge throw her in jail for a few days. She'll stop.
That's like the news show you did about the child, the brother who said he was trying to see his child, and his child was in the hospital with burns on him. You know, if he would have went to the courts and said, they're not letting me see my child, maybe he could have saw that his child was being, you know, having some mistreatment going on.
Yeah, that could have been prevented if that man would have went to court. The first time she say, no, you can't see your child, say, okay, I got something. They're like, you can't, because you cannot go in there and physically rip the child out of the house. You just go bring your court order and get a police report. That's what you do. And you bring that stuff to your lawyer and go to court and you file one. Because, see, you can say all day, I'm trying to see my child or whatever.
Right.
But until you get documented proof, that's the only thing the court going to move on anyway. And the judge will look at it and say, okay, this man went this day. You said no, we got a police report. You went this day, you went this day, you went this day. Ma'am, why? You know, and it's on. It's just as much like the judge would ask you why you're not paying. It's contempt of court. It's the same thing.
But well, that goes back to knowledge. If you don't have the knowledge to invoke yourself to do those things, you know, because, hey, life is all about growing. And if you can't grow and elevate and educate yourself to handle situations you're in, every situation can't be handled with brute force. They can't.
No.
Some of them
you
have
to be cold and calculated. But see, the thing is with a lot of, go ahead, bro.
Well, no, I was going to say, well, it's sad, but, I mean, black folk don't like to read. I mean, that those are the why we getting ourselves in trouble. It's just like we vote and we complain, but we haven't even read the policies these parties are bringing forth. But that's why I say black folk ain't got no business voting.
I tell my children that, too, because I myself, I'm not afraid to say this, I never liked reading growing up. As an adult, I forced myself to read things. I never was made to read growing up, and that's why. I was always going to room, watch TV, go watch TV, go watch TV, go watch TV, go watch TV. So I never was forced to sit down and read a book, and I do the difference with my children. I tell them that I don't like to read. I want you to read every day after you get home from school.
Yes.
Every day, read for an hour.
I
lost out, you know.
I don't understand that.
I had to learn at a later age.
I don't understand it, because like me, I've always been the type of person, I love to gain knowledge and I love to know things. And you know, there's a lot of our brothers and sisters that wanted to read when they were slaves, and they would get one page out of a book and try to learn. They had to hide that page because they were trying to learn to read, because the slave master would beat them or kill them because they're trying to learn how to read. Now you can read, you don't. I mean, it makes me sick when I hear black folks say, oh, they're trying to be white because they're trying to read and get an education. Like, man, you dummy. Man, you slave.
But you know what's funny? We don't read growing up, but when we're incarcerated, that's all we do.
Yeah, yeah.
So
we,
it's like
we
gotta
no
wait
choice.
Until Yeah, we got to wait until then until we start reading. And I looked at myself with an honest eye. I have to say myself, I don't like to read, but I like knowledge. So I need to sit down and read.
Exactly. But the killing part about it, these black folks you're talking about, they smart. If you can go find World Star Hip Hop and go watch Twerk Team, and you know how to go find that, well, you like all the stuff I'm telling you that I know, I sat my behind down and say, okay, I put in Texas Family Law. And I went there and I found all the sections. I said, okay, I found it. It's section 154. It's the Texas Family Law Code. And I sat there at work one night and I read all, every bit of it. I found out the clauses, how I can reduce child support. I found out if you have a kid, like with your wife, how much it can be reduced. I mean, all this stuff. The attorney general's not going to do this stuff for you. You got to do it yourself with a lawyer. You know, but it's in there. But a lot of these men don't know it. But see, I didn't even know until I sat my behind down one night and researched it. And that's a lot of problem with men, is they don't want to research anything. They want it easy.
Yes, yes. I agree with you, bro.
I'm going to say at least with black men. I ain't going to talk about nobody else. But the problem with black men is you want everything easy. And the reason why a lot of these guys get in trouble and also allow these women to even be on welfare and allow these women to put you on child support is because the main problem with us as black men, I'm pretty sure in the UK they're the same way because we pussy hound. That's our problem.
Right. Yes, yes.
And any woman that want to give it up, we'll take
that. That all goes back to father. I feel it all goes back to father. Who teaches you to work hard? Your father.
Too many dirty dicks.
Who teaches you? Who teaches you to you know, men? A man teaches a man to push past pain. Women, when they start, most women, when they reach a certain level of pain, they stop. But we're born to deal with what's hard. Hard work, hard life, hard situations. If you're not trained to deal with issues and not run away from them or to work hard, you never learn it. And that goes back to a father. I mean, my father was around in my life, but he didn't live in the home. But I'm thankful that he was in my life. I'm thankful to my older brothers. And even though most of the stuff they taught me was negative, they taught me a lot of good work ethics, a lot of values, and a lot of things that I could never learn from a woman.
Now, let me tell you about my father, the situation with my father. I had an issue with my father because I did not know.
That's
right. This is the problem with a lot of our young men today about their father. Sometimes the mama is the one that ran that man away, and she wanted to spin it to her son and her daughter to say, oh, your father left. And when I became a man, and I went and I said, you know what, I got to investigate what kept my dad away, why my mom and dad got divorced like that. Because my mom was saying, oh, he cheated on me, he this, he that. When I went and talked to my father about it, and my father's the type of man, he's straight up. He just talks to you straight. He ain't about to BS you or nothing. He looked me square in my eye and said, son, I did not sleep with any other woman when I was married to your mother. He told me that every time I tried to see y'all, or the moment I got married to, because he's still married to his wife he has now. He's been married to over 20 years. And he said, you know, she was like, oh, that woman not going to be around my kids. And he said, I invited y'all to the wedding and everything. She said, no, because it bothered me. He said, hey, my dad got married. He invited us to the wedding. Well, the whole time my dad did invite us to the wedding. And my mom said, no. You get what I'm saying? I'm finding out all this stuff that my mom was doing to my father. So I understood why he stayed away. And, like, really, like, to this day, me and my father have a great relationship now.
Right.
You know, but I had to find
out
the truth. And it put a bad taste in my mouth toward my mother. It really did. Because it still have a bad taste in my mouth toward her. I love her, but I have a bad taste because you denied me to be with my father, you know, when he was trying, and just because you were mad that he moved on.
Right. Exactly.
And
I told my wife, the bitter taste in my mouth was the day I realized that 80% of the information that I received from my mother was corruptive, and 80% of the things she taught me, a man should have never learned.
That's right.
A young man growing into a man should have never learned. And I love and respect my father, and we have a great relationship, and it's because now that as a man, I thank him for not staying in that situation, because it would have corrupted the good man he was and still is by staying with such a person who was not, you know, you can be a good mother and not be a good wife or a good
woman
for a man. So I respect her as a mother and I love her, but I also realize that she is better off single.
Now, I told my mom, I said, listen, I straight told her. I said, because the things my dad was telling me about, you know, your mom was always spending money. She had to be buying $300 shoes, and it's back in the 80s now. So your $300 shoes and this and
oh
that. And, third, and I know my mom used to do that stuff. She was always spending money, getting broke, and then she used to do all kind of stuff. I know what he was saying. I knew it wasn't a lie because I started remembering it, what he was saying. It's not like I was listening to him because I was still kind of old enough to remember certain things. And my mom is still like that to this day. Oh, she always want to buy expensive stuff, but she can't afford any of that, but she wants to, you know, have her head in the clouds. And I
it's
like,
a bitter
mama,
taste when you put that puzzle together, isn't it?
Yeah,
it tastes
like,
real bad once you put that puzzle together.
It sucked when I found that out, you know what I'm saying? And, that, and I even told my father, you know, I said, you know, I said, I understood and said, you know, why you had to do what you had to do. You get what I'm saying? I said, because he had to. And, and what happened? Because if he was so cold of a dude, why in the world he still married to his wife that he moved on with? He still with her.
Amen. Amen.
And he doing
Amen.
Great for himself. He doing great. I'm saying he's an electrical engineer. He owns his own home. He just bought her two brand new cars. He bought like a Nissan Maxima and a Nissan Titan, like both 2012. I mean, he does real good for himself.
Right. My father's been with with my stepmom since I was about 5 or 6. They still together. And, you know, they elevate. They grow. They grow, you know. And I make a joke, you know, my mother has the same house number that she's had since 1965. But that shows me, along with a lot of other things that she do, the stagnant mentality, you know, that I'm glad I broke away from. I'm glad I have a lot more traits of my father than I do of my mother. And because if I had more traits of my mother, I know I would be a terrible man.
Well, let me make you laugh. Oh, go ahead, brother. Go ahead. Five, six, seven.
Well, I mean, coming from a different home where, you know, my dad was always in and out of prison. That's what stopped him from being a father to me. But, I mean, some of these women, I would blame my mum in a sense that she kept on picking deadbeat men. You know, that was her biggest problem. I mean, a lot of people that I grew up with, you know, their dad was in and out of prison or something or the other, or the dad just ran away or whatever, he's in hiding or whatever. But I mean, I think those are the kids that do the, you know, a lot of wicked. I mean, you know, it's hard for the sisters. That's why I say it's all right for the woman getting her benefits in that sense. But I mean, I think that they should, you know, women who make a poor choice, they should be able to be made how, the state should teach them how to be proper mothers.
Now, you made I'm going to stop you right there. If you make a mistake one time, everybody has no problem helping you with that. Because, look, you had one child, you were done wrong, whatever, you can't afford a child, the state will help you, that's great, no problem. I have no problem with that. But when you having child after child after child, and you
after
had child number four already.
I agree with that,
and you still talking about you need help. You still talking about that? I mean, no, you need to come on with
that. You made that your career. You made that your career.
Having babies.
Yes. No, I agree with you brothers wholeheartedly. That's why I say that. Either these women get sterilized, right?
Oh, I'm not saying that.
You know what? I'm glad you mentioned that. I agree with that because, in my opinion, they should make a limit. They say after the second child, you being a single mother, and you don't benefit. After the second child, you got two choices. You can either get fixed, or you can get off the system. Well, we ain't gonna keep supporting you.
Yes,
I'm sorry. It gotta be a limit,
brother. It messes up our home, you know. And I've seen women having like 6 children with like 4 different baby fathers, and they're still by themselves.
It's the thing. Wow. If you're a married woman, you can have all the babies you want. Fine. If you had 6 kids with your husband, y'all broke up, it's okay for the state to help you. I have no problem with that. You had your children within a marriage. But you had the first baby by Ray Ray, the second baby by Pookie, the third baby by Tyrone, the fourth baby by Looky Lou. You know, come on.
Oh, wow.
And you want the state to pay for all 4 of them? And, well, I'm going to say taxpayers, because that's who's going to pay for it.
Right.
You want us to pay for it all.
And you got to understand, them children, the product of that household, is the young black dude who wants to kill your children or kill you if you look at him wrong.
Right. And it's a poison mentality. It's a poison. It's poisoning the children to say, hey, don't grow up to be anything. Don't do anything. Let's just get on welfare when you turn 18. Maybe you can move next door to me. You know, that's the type of mentality it's creating in the children, you know.
You know, all this stuff y'all talking about these kids being poisoned and everything, you know, it's not you setting me up for something I was going to do. I had got asked on YouTube about the Rick Ross and the GD situation. You know what I'm talking about, right? Okay.
Right.
So they want to know my opinion about it. So, you know me, if you watch me long enough, you know what, before I talk about anything, I go ahead and show my proof.
I actually sent that to you.
Oh, it was you?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know. I don't never know who's who, you know, that you actually talk to.
Right, I know.
So this is what I'm going to do. I took the time to get two clips from the GDs from Georgia and Alabama, okay? I'm going to play it's like a 4-minute, 18-second clip. I mean, if you got a problem with profanity, these guys use profanity. These are street dudes. That's what they do. So I'm going to go ahead and play that first clip and give my opinion, and I'm going to play Rick Ross's response. So let me get the GDs on first, and I'll come back.
Public service announcement right here, straight to the point. This straight at Rick Ross, the whole Maybach music is fucking real talk. The whole public service announcement is about this. Look, first of all, let me get straight. Larry Hoover don't have nothing to do with this, so for y'all take the tape back to try to put LJ and his daddy in it, they don't have nothing to do with this right here. This G's coming from all over talking about this right here. Hey, Rick, straight up, you know what you did first time we gave you a pass on the Larry Hoover Big Meek song. You were supposed to took care of some business you didn't take care of. You know who you need to tune into. Now, you done really disrespected the organization by putting your face on. You gonna put your star on your face in this star right here.
That's what you right gonna do.
It ain't nothing but three people that rock this star. The Jews, GDs, Illuminati.
GD, folk!
You're not Jew. You're not GD. So I guess the Illuminati got you.
Disciple!
Bullshit, nigga ain't no fucking boss. Nigga, this ain't got nothing to do, motherfucker. I honor, but Charon, bitch, is real GD. She ain't got nothing to do with Junior, fuck ass dude. Nigga, you walk around this bitch. Nigga, you ain't no fucking gangster, nigga. Nigga, we motherfucking gangsters.
GD, folk.
You hear me? Nigga, this Bama, bitch. Nigga, your fuck ass walk around this motherfucker. Nigga, it's time for your weak ass to check in. You understand? Nigga, we motherfucking playing, nigga. It ain't just the fucking ATA, ain't the shot, nigga. Bitch, we riding. Check in, nigga. Think it's a motherfucking gang. Look at this.
City folk.
You understand me, my nigga? You need to make a phone call to check in with somebody before we check in with your weak ass. You understand? Nigga, ain't no fucking plan. Turn it in, my nigga. Yeah, ass walk around talking about you think you Big Meat, you think you Larry Hoover, you goddamn talking about you riding on the six, you
hey,
motherfucking
yeah,
dude, come right, see right, us right, now. Right. Nigga, we in Jefferson County, we're not motherfucking hiding. Huh? You think it's a game? I got something to make you say, huh? Why you sitting there playing?
Alabama, nigga.
Alabama.
GD folk.
GD folk.
This like folks.
This like folks. D-Cypho!
Yo, this what it is, man. Fuck the bullshit, man. Rick Ross, you know what it is, nigga. You know what I'm saying? You sitting on the motherfucking meal, nigga. You better get ready to spend them motherfucking nigga. This the real motherfucking mob, nigga.
D-Cypho!
Nigga. Niggas done died and stood on the six, man. Niggas doing time, man, nigga. And matter of fact, nigga, shout out to all my niggas motherfucking them
Hojacking
everybody, nigga. It's time to check in,
Alabama,
nigga. We ain't motherfucking playing, nigga, from Mobile, Allenville, motherfucking Chambers County, nigga, all the surrounding states, nigga, plug in. We checking this nigga. Nigga, just like the folks said down there in the G State, nigga, your promoters, nigga, you better get at us, nigga. He can't do no show nowhere, nigga. Turn them motherfucking checks in to us. Nigga, you see this motherfucking star, nigga. Nigga, we paid due for this, nigga. You don't rep that for free, nigga. Check in, nigga.
All right, there was the GDs. You heard they have an issue with Rick Ross. If you did not know, everybody, caller 8241. You on the show? Got a question?
So, what are your opinions on welfare?
What are my opinions on welfare?
Yep.
Well, let me ask you a question. I have my opinions. I've stated many during the show. What is your opinion on welfare?
Well, personally, I believe that all you lazy niggas should get up off your asses and start working.
Oh, God bless you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Anyway, back to...
That's how we deal with ignorance. We don't combat ignorance with ignorance. We combat ignorance with love.
Well, I was gonna say something to him, but I'm gonna let him make it. Like I said, it's 41% of white people on welfare, 36% of black. So I mean, if you want to go there,
we combat ignorance with love.
So anyway,
it's too much ignorance out here to combat ignorance with more ignorance. I grew up in a lifestyle of ignorance. I'm not trying to join into it.
So anyway, back to the GD. Let me tell you about your boy Rick Ross. This is my opinion. Rick Ross, you know, he played with people who he shouldn't have been playing with. He claiming stuff he shouldn't be claiming. Everybody know he is not no gangster. Everybody know he was a doggone correction officer. 50 Cent exposed him as a correction officer. Everybody just say, you know what, forget it, whatever, let him make his music. I like Rick Ross' music. But he's playing with those, you know, GDs, and he shouldn't be doing that junk. So he put himself in that situation. I don't feel bad for him personally for why they're getting at it. You know, them dudes are about their life, you know, they're living. And he's stepping on it.
My whole thing is this, like you said, don't pretend to be anything you're not, you know.
Right.
And I'm talking from an aspect of an artist myself. I've been in and out of the rap game since 1988. And I've been close enough to it to where I've had deals presented to me, but along with those deals would have involved me having to disrespect a certain group of people because I was with this label or with that label, so I had to disrespect others who they had beef with. And so I turned away from the whole game entirely and went into a white-collar field and just started my life as a regular white-collar individual. And I'm just now to the point where I'm trying to reinvoke myself in it the way I want to do it because it's the way I want to do it is just be real. You know, I'm not a gangster. I'm not a hardcore killer. I've never killed anyone in my life because God said you will be held blood guilty for what blood is on your hands. But I grew up around nothing but gangsters and killers, so I have a little bit of that mentality. Let's just be honest, and that's all I'm saying about this situation. Be who you are. If you're not a gangster, you're not a killer. It may not sell records, but, you know, you won't be in this situation.
But see, in this day and time, you don't even have to be part of nothing. I mean, people just want to party. That's it. They don't care about if you're in no gang. They don't.
Exactly. And
rap is not like it used to be. Like back in the 90s, they would have missed something. But now it's all pop. It's like pop music. Every last one of it is pop.
You.
So it doesn't matter if you know.
And that's what made me want to come back into it. Because I'm like, okay, the music I do is going to be listened to now. Because back when I was in the game, you got skills, but you know what? It's a little too positive. Can you do this? Can you say this? Can you say that? And that's what made me get out of the entire game. Because they were trying to make me more like my relatives. My relatives are gang members. My relatives are killers. I'm not. I know killers, but I'm not. So I'm not going to try to create no image based on, and that's what most rappers do.
And I'm going to put my head on the chopping block by telling the truth right here. Most rappers emulate somebody they know.
Well, like Rick Ross.
Create.
Rick Ross, prime example.
Hey, most people, yeah. they know somebody. They knew a killer. They knew an OG. They knew somebody that put in all that work, and they grew up watching them, and they have so much information on them that they able to emulate them and sell the society, the mass media, that's really them. Now, don't get me wrong. I know. I'm not naming names. I can go down a gang of lists of real street gangsters who actually happen to be rappers. They not gangster rappers. They killers who happen to rap. But it's the difference between them and the other ones that we're talking about.
God.
Those who
no
create
God.
That.
But
that,
see,
that
back.
I mean, we got the same thing in, out here. And I mean, with guys like Rick Ross, what you got to understand, he can afford. And what I mean afford, he can now, he's got the money to get enough people to cover his fat ass. You see what
no.
I'm saying? Because
money can't,
he's got
money. Can't
them
stop
niggas
street
there broke. Huh?
Money can't stop a street gang. Money can't stop the power of street gangs.
Okay,
I'm going to tell you that from point at blank.
Them
no matter how much money you got, if somebody want to touch you, you're going to get touched.
Them guys can't get to him. The only way those guys can get to him is if Rick Ross makes the mistake of coming down to their patch.
Well, I pray nothing happens to anybody, you know, because there's enough dead people out here, enough, you know, every second somebody's dying. Somebody's getting shot right now as we talking.
But let me tell you something else, though, about those guys.
Go on.
You know, it's like, we talking about welfare. Most of those guys in situations like that, they grew up on welfare and food stamps, and they saw the gang life of getting some money because they grew up poor, and that's why they jumped into that, because they were set up in failure on welfare. So see,
well,
that,
know,
that is that's a problem.
View on that. I'm divided on that because, you know, I saw a documentary which I love. This was a movie actually, and the guy made a statement in it that dope has been good to him. And I've seen a lot of people start off that way, and because of that, it elevated them to another state in life, and they stopped doing that. But then at the same time, yes, it is killing people. So it's like I'm divided on good and bad. You know, if people are going to use it, it's going to have to be somebody to sell it.
Well, this is my thing and why I brought that up. It's like, it's like if you have your father in the home, like, you know, like you're supposed to do, and, you know, he's, you know, providing him and the mother working together, usually you won't see the sons go and join the GDs.
You usually
don't see that because, you know, they provide a good life for them to do something with their life. You know what I'm saying? It's
right.
Most of these kids in single-parent homes. Who don't have no money, who's sick of wearing the same clothes all the time. They tired of it. So they see these dudes on the block, they selling the little, you know, drugs here and there, and they want that money, and that's how they get involved.
Right.
That's simple.
You're right.
I was blessed
to grow up in a different situation. Every single family member that's a male in my family, both on my dad and mom's side, are gang members. Both Blood and Crip gang members. But they were more of a mentality where they did what they did and they said, you're not going to do this. And I wanted to badly growing up because I envied them, but they was avid about, you're not going to do this. You're going to do this. You're into computers. That's what you're going to do. You're into this. This is what you're going to do. You're into rapping. That's what you're going to do. You're not going to gangbang. You're not going to do this. So I'm thankful that I had them as surrogate fathers, even though they were out killing people and selling drugs. They were my surrogate fathers who told me what to do right, you know. But the problem is a lot of them out there are doing the opposite. They showing by their actions what these youngsters want. They show the rims. They show the chains. They show all this. And it make it look like if you got a regular job, you're a sucker if you work at McDonald's, you know. You're a sucker if you Calvin from that commercial walking to McDonald's going to work.
Yeah,
you should
yeah,
be on the corner.
But see, that's a screwed up in the black community, you know, whether it's in the UK or whether it's in US, at least from what I'm hearing, is that we got the same problems. And it's like, you know, if you doing bad, that's a great thing. But if you're doing good outside of the community, then that's a good thing. That's why a lot of times people like, you know, us, you know, we'll eventually just leave the community because, like, we can't stay there because it's like
right.
you either going to turn to the dark side or you're going to have to, you know, gonna have to leave. But,
or you're
going to
take what you got. You know,
yeah,
I've seen people in my neighborhood that tried their best to live a normal life and go to work and come home. And what happened? They go to work and come home, and somebody done been in their house and took all they worked hard for.
Yeah, but, you know, like I said, I'm going to get to the second part with Rick Ross before I really give my opinion about what I don't like about it. He shouldn't have been playing with them dudes. That's his bottom line. He shouldn't be calling out names of people that you don't know or whatever to sell records. Because at the end of the day, you know, his boss is, you know, the man or the Illuminati
right.
or whoever he want to work for, not going to cover his back.
Well, there's
okay,
certain things that just should never be said. And if you
exactly.
really grow up in this lifestyle, you know that. You know that. People know me, but I'll never tell you who I know because it's no need for that. I know
right.
who I know, and they know me. I'm not about to name drop because the names I have don't need to be spoken. And the names I know, they don't want to even know that I even spoke their name because that's going to make them start wondering about me. So close mouth. That's if you really from this world, because it's a whole other world. If you from this world, you know how to – you don't talk. There's no talking. We're taught from the age 5 up. Don't talk. You didn't see nothing. You didn't hear nothing.
Yeah, and that's a destroying the black community as well, too.
But that's another show.
Yeah, that's another show. But
I feel brainwashed by it, too, you know? But it is brainwashed.
Yeah, when you get the moment you move to the suburbs in a white community, you're going to get unbrainwashed because they don't operate like that. They see something, they call it.
And I did.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'm going to get to the Rick Ross response. I'm going to play it. It's like a 6-minute little response. Then I'll really respond to how I feel about the situation, you know, Rick Ross and the GD. So let me play that.
Second leg of the tour. We had to pump the brakes a little bit.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, I canceled the rest of the tour due to the promoter wasn't really handling his business. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He canceled a date of mine. I was going to Tucson, Arizona.
Okay.
And I was really a few hours outside of the market when I realized.
Of Arizona?
Tucson.
Okay.
I believe it was Tucson. This was maybe a week and a half ago. And, I just made a call to the dude, Sean G, and just let him know that ain't how we move. Let's just communicate a little better.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So the other day I woke up and realized 2 more dates had been canceled. So I just felt like that was some power that I needed to take away from homie. So I canceled the rest of the dates
mm-hmm.
that I had arranged with him. But originally, the tours from November 2nd to December 5th.
Okay, 5th.
That's why we ended it in Miami. But, you know, he brought another, you know, 1-point-something worth of, you know, business to the table. So we added those extra dates. And, you know, once they began to unravel, I just shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
And never was it due to any threats. Or,
I was just about to say, because,
yeah, yeah.
you know, we hear.
Let me cut, not to cut you off, but let me explain something to you. You know, I'm a certified man. I am a real boss. And this is something that everybody needs to understand. Gangsters move in silence.
Mm.
Gangsters move in silence. And in situations like that, I just remember an old school Dade County gangster told me a long time ago that any dude could stand in the crowd with 30, 40 dudes and everybody real,
mm-hmm.
everybody trill, everybody about that life, everybody gangster. You understand? But when the choppers come out, everybody fold. But more importantly, anybody that understand anything about GDs, because this is what it's supposed to be about. Anybody that understand anything about GDs, it's all about growth and development.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that know anything about the old man, Mr. Hoover, that's why I put him in my song, because I respect his scriptures, his philosophies.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about support. It's all about coming up. It's just not about somebody who, you know, one sucker or somebody that got a personal vendetta, and that's something that we're going to address, you understand? But
mm-hmm.
other than that, that's not the case. I was just in Chicago a week and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's the birthplace of the GDs. And if I go to Chicago to handle my business like I did, I have no problem going to North Carolina
right.
or South Carolina where
right.
the ladies are brown skin, brown eyes, they got nice curls, and they make the best apple pie. So don't ever get it twisted.
Okay.
Ricky Rose is a boss.
So
and not to cut anybody off, but I'm certified worldwide. I could put 1,000 gangsters in any hood, but that ain't what I'm here for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to make stars. I'm here to make icons. I'm here to break records. I'm here to be Grammy nominated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm doing. So, and to me, rich is gangster. Loyal is gangster. You understand? Family is gangster. If that's not gangster, I don't want to be gangster. I'm a boss. I went from nothing to being a $50 million man. So don't never get it twisted. Sean G wasn't handling his business. You can't cancel a Ricky Rose show without Ricky Rose permission, and that's what he did with Tucson. Y'all get on the internet. Get on the internet. My show was canceled. I didn't like the way it moved, so I went to Vegas for 2 days. If anybody got Instagram, get on my Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see me getting a massage on one of those Instagrams. I was in the Palms out in Vegas. I made the best of the night. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But that's why the shows were canceled. And if I go to Chicago, I just want to say that again, I go anywhere. So don't get it twisted. And when you pull up the footage of me walking out in Chicago on the stage with the chinchilla dragging on the floor, you let me know if that's the swagger of somebody that's in fear of their life. And you holler back at Ricky Rose. And furthermore, I want to say that I salute Mr. Larry Hoover. I salute the beautiful Miss Wendy, who I spoke to recently. She's very honorable. She's very intelligent. Shout out to young Larry. We gonna clarify that, but that's what bosses do. And what's sad about this is that, you know, in the old school days, not even saying this the case, because I believe this not even the case with this situation, but just anybody who get on the internet and do that. That's what the rapper's supposed to be doing to the gangster. We call that dry snitching. That's what we call that. The rapper's supposed to be in the water flapping their arms, not the other way around, but these are the times that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So don't never get it twisted. Self-made, and when I say self-made, that's what we about in Dade County. I don't care who you claim. I don't care what you throw up. That's all love. But when you get in that cell and you get by yourself, you got to be self-made and you got to be trill. You got to be your own man. And that's what I represent when I scream self-made. Dade County, that's what we about down here in Dade County. So if you scream and cut a check, we need a check.
Mm.
Ain't no checks getting cut. Ain't never no checks getting cut.
Well,
I don't play those games.
Okay.
I consider that extortion. We don't play like that. This Dade County. You understand? This what we about 305 in my yayo. So y'all Google up. Y'all get online. All the blogs and sites that rock with Ricky Rose, you pull up my footage of being in Chicago when I walked out with that $40,000 black chinchilla, you understand? I told him, cut the music off. I wanted him to just look at me for a little while, you heard me? Look at my beard. Look at the coat. Look how I walk. And it ain't no disrespect. I'm here to get money. That's to me what's gangster. Rich is gangster. You understand? Wealth is gangster. Power is gangster. Loyalty is gangster. That's gangster. We done seen too many so-called gangsters go to prison and bring tatter whole community up.
Mm-hmm.
So we ain't on that. So I salute every set. Whatever you doing to get money, I salute you. But take advantage of whatever it is you doing. You understand? And it is what it is. Ricky Rose.
And on that note.
All right. So you're Rick Ross. He's still trying to keep her persona. That's my only issue with him with that. All that gangster talk or whatever.
I respect him and his movement, everything he do. He making money, but see, I really can't tell who he is because you got three types of gangsters: a fake gangster, a gangster that's born gangster, and a gangster that become gangster. Now, a gangster that become gangster may not have been a gangster in the beginning, but after a few shootouts and a few issues, that gangster's a full-fledged certified gangster now. So it's no telling. Maybe he always was gangster, and he just did what a lot of gangsters do. A lot of gangsters go get work. They go get a job because it's just time to do that right now. Maybe he became gangster. Maybe he wasn't gangster in the beginning, and maybe over years, you know, faced with issues, living a life, he became the real deal. Or maybe he's a persona. Either way, I just hope they keep peace. Because
this is my thing, okay? You know, we're just keeping it real and all this other stuff. Rick Ross is an entertainer. And that's what people don't realize. He's an entertainer. He's It's no different than Brad Pitt or Denzel Washington playing out a character. That's what he's doing. And at the end of the day, he don't be acting like Rick Ross at his house. He with his
that could be true.
Whatever chick he with and kids. That's no different. Let's say me. I get on the internet. I do my thing. I don't talk this way all the time with, you know, my wife and my kids and
right.
all of the stuff. I'm more of a laid back, you know, dude. I like to clown a lot more than what I show online. I really clown
right.
a whole lot more. And I'm starting to slowly bring that back out, you know, in my videos. But everybody have a persona. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to keep up. And that's what he's doing. That's why when somebody said, like, for instance, the other day, my wife was saying that I don't really like Nicki Minaj too much. And I told her, how is it you don't like Nicki Minaj? The way she comes across. I said, you don't know her. I said, that's a front that she's putting up. I said, if you hung around her a little bit and got to know her, then you could say, okay, you don't like her, you don't. I said, I understand how it works.
I hated the fact that I missed your last show because a lot of the problems, a lot of what we see is not a front sometimes. A lot of these people are bipolar and are not getting the proper treatment. A lot of these people are bipolar. I know for a fact that I am. I'm getting the proper treatment. But see, my issues is that that's why as an artist, I don't show my face as an artist. I wear a mask as an artist. Why? Because the artist in me is not who I am. The person I am with my wife and kids is totally different. That's my other personality. That's my bipolar issue coming out. And a lot of people laugh at that, especially in the black community, because I tell anybody in a second I'm bipolar. And they laugh at it. They laugh it away. But see, that's the point. We are not educated enough on mental health issues. A lot of this stuff we see is mental health.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, a lot of it. Like I said, you know, we were talking, like I said, and I don't know if you – did you listen to the last show?
I didn't. I didn't get a chance to, but I will.
Yeah,
but
I saw it when I was logging in. Yeah, well, like I said, you could check that one out. Like I said, Gabriella was on there, too, as well. Like I said, when she get back from Africa, she's going to join me here probably on a permanent basis.
Okay.
Yeah, so – because I needed a female co-host anyway.
Someone to bounce off.
So, anyway – let me tell you my situation with this Rick Ross issue and GDs. You know, it's amazing how we so quick to want to snuff out and kill another black man, but, you know, George Zimmerman was walking around Florida, you know, a long time before he got arrested, and nobody was online threatening him. You know, they got GDs in Florida, none of them threatened George Zimmerman. It was quite funny, I thought about that. Or anybody that snuff out the brothers or sisters, they can walk around free, but when it comes to another black person, oh, we're getting online threatening to kill them. And I thought that's just quite funny. You know, we so much of a beast to try to kill other blacks, but everybody else, you're scared, you're mouse, you're in the corner hiding. You know what I'm saying? Like, they call themselves gangsters, no real gangsters in Mexico. The police afraid of them. That's what a real gangster is.
And
you got the police afraid of you? Well,
they come across the border and party all the time.
Yeah. I know in certain sections LAPD want to patrol over there in LA. I know that. You know, I mean, if the police are afraid of you, then you're a gangster. Because, you know,
right.
I don't like to see this stuff going on, man. It's like, you know,
I'll tell you, one thing I like that he said, and that's the truth, real gangsters move in silence.
Well, it is true. They don't talk.
You know,
they don't talk and threaten and all this other stuff. You know, and like he did say, you know, yeah, anybody, you know, basically bad in the crowd. He said, we get them by themselves, you know.
Right.
And like you said,
like
what he
I said,
said
I'm
what
not
he
a
said
gangster,
too,
and I admit
true.
That. I am not.
No, I don't got nothing to do with that. I'm trying to make money. I'm trying to be like with Ross, say, self-made. I ain't got time for that. Y'all can do that if y'all want to. All that,
I'm trying
you
to
know,
do
battle.
Two things. Eat and feed. Eat
sure.
and feed my family. That's it. You know, my
yeah.
motto is that, you know, it's family first. Always family first.
That's right. Family
you know,
first.
That's
everything
the
else
only
branch
thing I'm
off.
Willing to die for. You know, I live for success. Only thing I'm willing to die for is my wife and kids. That's my motto.
Mm-hmm. You know, and this the thing. You know, it's like brothers need to focus themselves on more positive things and doing more than just that. Like I said, and then also Rick Ross was saying, like, let's be real. If Rick Ross say he got $50 million. He can, what he said about he can put 1,000 people on him in every city, he actually can. And it wouldn't be too expensive for him to do it. Because them cats out there right. broke. They ain't got no money. He can get guys. He can get guys in their own set to turn against them and start doing stuff to the main ones. He could. Like I say, all
when
it takes
people
is
love
money.
You. You can do anything when people love you.
No,
and a
you
lot
got
of people
money.
Love
no,
Rick
no. It ain't about love. It's about money. Money talks. Real
True.
Quick. You know what
True.
I'm saying? Yeah, Ross. He can do like 50. He can go bulletproof everything he got. He can do that. You know, shoot, if he don't want to, he ain't got to do no shows in the U.S. He can go do shows overseas and collect money. He ain't got to do shows.
Right.
He got fans all
well,
over
know,
the world.
I know rappers that don't. I know West Coast rappers that won't do a West Coast show.
Wow, really?
Right, because it's just too dangerous.
I don't remember, a while back, Too Short came to Midland. I was mad because I was working because I would have went up there and seen Too Short. Boy, that's one of my favorites, Short.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got all his albums too. Him, E-40. Yeah, man, but that's why I didn't even cover that really on my YouTube channel because I didn't want to. When the first video came out with the GD Ross, I didn't want to be putting it out there because it's like, man, his brothers just like trying to hurt each other, man, and I'm not trying to even put that out there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's why I didn't cover it. Oh, I've been known about it. It wasn't nothing new to me.
Right.
You know, but I just
want
to put it out there. You know, it.
Well, yeah, you know, you got more tasteful things to report on.
Yeah, you know, like, I don't mind, like, you know, I report the drama. I report it all. But it's just certain things I'm trying to learn to take what you call social media responsibility. And I'm not trying to use certain things for YouTube views. Because, you know, some people don't care. They'll put it out there because they know it's going to get YouTube views. But certain things like that was threatening people's life and all this other stuff, man, I don't need to be putting that out there because that's just spreading the message of, you know, the situation.
Right.
You know, now, like,
and,
matter
like,
fact,
like I said earlier, you know, it's enough people dying every second. You know, I'm trying to live, I'm trying to eat, I'm trying to feed.
Exactly. You know, and we got to start learning to take, you know, more responsibility in what, you know, what we do, man, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not innocent of that. I had to review my whole social media responsibility as well. You know, like, okay, I know I may promote. Maybe I'm promoting some things I shouldn't be promoting. Maybe I should tone things down.
Well, I'm going to talk about me. You know, like, when it comes to me, I'm really noticing, you know, how what you say sometimes just influence people sometimes. So that's why I said to myself, okay, I need to start taking more responsibility in what I say, some of the stories I put up, and even certain conversations I won't even have on YouTube anymore. Like, I will get more in-depth on, you know, this show about certain issues in the black community I refuse to do on YouTube due to the simple fact that, you know, just about people of all walks of life watch my stuff now. So I don't, certain conversations about the black community, in my opinion, shouldn't be put up on YouTube.
Right.
You know, because we always say, oh, well, you know, this person and that person shouldn't be in our business, but you're putting it on YouTube, so they are going to be in the business. How you going to tell them not to be in it? So that's why
I'm very selective of what I put on YouTube. Like I said, I'm a very private person when it comes to my personal life. So I'm very careful what I put on YouTube.
Yeah, and see, and due to all this stuff with Rick Ross, all the GDs did was let me know about a mixtape I didn't even know he had. So, like I said, all I'm doing, I'm downloading that today and putting that on my iPod. I got all Ross stuff and his mixtape.
Giving him free promotion. Yeah, I listen to his music too. I'm a big fan of music. Period.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I heard. I can't remember the name, but some artist said that in an interview. That once you stop becoming a fan, that's when, you know, you can't make good music anymore. You got to be a fan. I think it was 50 Cent said that. He, you know, that he's a fan of even the people that don't like him. He listens to their music, you know. And I listen to all music, you know. And I tell you, I don't listen to music of people I personally don't like based on the way they carry themselves and the way I see them acting in, you know, it's like if I have some, you know, personality quirks about that person, I'm going to listen to their music. But generally, I listen to everybody.
Yeah, you know, like I said, the person that disappoints me the most sometimes, well, I'm going to say she don't disappoint. I'm going to say Nicki Minaj. I'm going to tell you, that girl can rap. I mean, that girl is the best rapper, female rapper out.
Right.
Well, I mean, she got a few songs on both her albums that you hear and say, man, that girl can rap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's
bipolar.
Fit.
She's bipolar. I know she is. She has to be bipolar. And just, you know, and a lot of people think, you know, weed is the answer. You need the regular, the real medication. If you're bipolar, you need the real medication for your issue because it's unhealthy. And I see that in her music. You can hear that. She will go from something that will be on a pop station to something that will be on a hardcore station of rap, you know. She's through all these different genres, you know.
I don't see her like that. I see her like a person like myself. A person like myself, I don't want to do the same thing all the time because I get bored with it. So I always like to switch it up. So the moment you think you know something about me, I'm going to switch it up on you. You know, and some people are going to like you constantly switch it up, or some people are going to like, man, I don't like you switch it up. You know, but
well,
it makes you like
the background on your shows. I'm
you
tired
what?
Of looking at the tree. I'm tired of looking at the tree.
Oh, well, by that, well, when it comes to physical stuff like that, I can't change that right now. Like I said, not until I get an actual studio, so y'all got to deal with my background for now.
I'm messing with you.
Yeah.
Just trying to tell you I'm watching.
Oh, yeah. Shoot. But the content, I constantly change it up. You know, like I said, when I started doing the Ratchet Video Weekly videos, I said,
I
want to do something different. You know, than what I normally would do. So I started doing
I think
it.
You should go out more like you did on Christmas. You should go out more like you did when you went to.
You sound like a friend of mine. He's like, man, I'd like you to go out more. I said, yeah. In order for me to do that, I said, it's a certain camera I gotta have to really. Cause see, I have a camera, but I want to buy me a professional grade camera. Okay,
okay.
You know, the camera I looked at is gonna run me like about 2 G's. So.
Cause I like when you went out to the line and was talking to everybody at the line. I like that.
Yeah, I can go talk to people like and see. I was telling like my cousin, I say, you know, because the thing is about it, he shot the film for me, and I don't mind talking to people, but I was like, you know, look, I could take a little cash and say, look, let me talk to him and say, hey, look, let me get your opinion on something. I'll pay you for your time, you know, something
right.
like that. Because I didn't, of course, none of those people I paid anything because the moment they see me walk up with a camera, it's like, what are you? I mean, they were acting like I was some pseudo celebrity. I was looking
people
like
you
myself.
Won't have to pay. Most people
you
won't have to pay.
I know this stuff.
Sometimes
it was funny.
I walk
let me tell
on.
You stuff. The funniest people, like I said, white people was the funniest people for me because they just ate me up. Now black folks they looked at me like, who this nigga is? White people they were like, oh yeah, I get in it, and all this other stuff. They were just talking to me and acting like I was somebody special. I say, well look at, I say,
yeah.
I got a kick out of it. I had a lot of fun. My cousin. Yeah. Well, there, my daughters are there. They was like, oh, this is real fun. You know, I had a crowd of people with me, you know, but
I do a lot of promotion on the street because I put my mask on and I live near Hollywood, California. I don't live in Hollywood, but I live in a suburb outside of Hollywood. So I go drive down to Hollywood Boulevard where all the tourists are with my mask on, handing out flyers for people to go check out my YouTube page. And, you know, it's like, like you said, the brothers, they look at me like, who is this weirdo? And, you know, the white people, they like, oh, my God, let me take a picture with you. Let me take a picture of you.
Yeah.
Who are
like
you, you know?
I was telling the wife, I said, the next time I go to Vegas, I'm hitting the strip with my camera. I'm going to mess with people on the strip. Like
you
I said,
got
I got
to. You got
to. Yeah, because I just have fun doing that, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, she's careful. See,
oh, and Thanksgiving, you made me hungry. I got to tell you, I got you on the line. I want to tell you, you made me so hungry. Some of that. I want some of that roast that was on that plate when you was at your family's house on Thanksgiving.
Oh, you doing that pork roast?
Oh, man. That pork roast and that ham.
We cook right down here, man. We cook right down here. See, I've been to California. I've been to L.A. a few times. And y'all don't season food right out there. Y'all don't.
You have to come down
south for that.
You're right. It's only, you know what? I got to drive all the way deep in the South Central to find good food. I mean, I got to drive deep into the hood to find good food out here in California. It's hard. And they got these so-called soul food places all around where I live. And I tell my wife, the only reason why they survive it is because there is nothing else to compete with. And I tell you, I was salivating just watching your show when I saw that macaroni with the crust on the top and then that cake your wife made. Oh, my God.
Yeah, my wife, she does that the cake stuff, you know, on the side. I recently just bought her one of them KitchenAid mixers, and I got to buy her some more other equipment because she does all them specialty cakes and stuff. And, you know, she, you know, make a little bread off of it on the side outside of her job. And you know,
I can tell because she looks professional. It looked like it came from a store. You know, you was like, my wife made this. I was like, God, she got skills with the swirl and the swivels and the line. It was all beautiful, and it was in a box,
nothing.
You
ain't
know?
Nothing. Ain't nothing in what she's done. I mean, yeah, she's done a lot of stuff. You know, I put some pictures up on my fan page of what she's done.
Well, I'm going to have to send you a direct message on Facebook. Hey, get my address so you can get your wife to send me a piece of cake.
Dude, I don't know how that would work.
A piece of cake out here.
Yeah, I don't know how that would work. Yeah, man, that's crazy, but... You know, like I said, I try to invest into, you know, all my, like I said, with her and what she got going on for her,
right.
You know, businesses and, you know, the things that I got going on, you know. So we just trying to, you know, I'm constantly, you know, brother trying to work and hustle. That's why with that, when you talk about welfare, I don't have somebody be on that junk because I'm always trying to hustle, man. I can't slow down. I got
but
to
you know what's
it.
A shame? It's a shame that you have to pretty much give up life to survive on welfare. I mean, to survive on that little bit of money per month, you have to not have any ambitions, not want to really go anywhere, not want to really do anything, because you really don't have it to do it.
Yeah.
So it's like your life is stagnant. And you know, I told somebody who knew me as a young age, they're like, man, you really changed. You know, you did. I was like, you know, we're supposed to grow. You get mad if your weed don't grow right, but I'm not supposed to grow.
That's
you
right.
You know, I'm not supposed to elevate. If your weed don't grow and it's immature, you don't want to smoke it, why shouldn't I want to elevate to the highest of my potential?
That's right. And like me, it's just like every day I'm always like, you're talking about how we don't like to read, seeking knowledge. And one thing I ate up a lot of, I did some research on how much Nike makes and Exxon Mobil and all these different ones. And I told my wife, I said, after this month, because I'm going to, you know, drop my cash to get my website going. I said, the following month, I said, I'm opening up my E-Trade account. And I said, I'm buying Nike stock. I'm buying Exxon Mobil. I'm buying a bunch of stocks. And I'm going to stay buying stocks all year. And the reason why is because when y'all Negroes going to line up in line for Jordan, I'm making money too. On my stuff.
Right.
Y'all go ahead.
You know,
see, that's how I think.
True.
I'm constantly thinking of ways to make money. I'm not trying to play around. Because I told my
wife,
you ain't
going
to make your first
stock.
Million working for somebody else.
Yeah. I made a little money in stock, and it was based on what a rapper said. You know, I got my hands on this rapper CD right before he came out, and I heard that he was going to come out. And when he came out, he really became big in his East Coast area, you know. But he was rapping about True Religion jeans, and I had never heard about the jeans before, hadn't heard any advertisements about it, but I said, if this rapper's rapping about it, eventually it's going to be something. I told a couple of my friends, we all went in, we got, you know, we didn't go in together, but I told them about it. They bought stock, I bought stock when True Religion was like $5 a share, and we watched it go up. We watched it go up. I sold my shares at the beginning of this year, to move, actually, and I mean, it was awesome, and I noticed that, you know, if a rapper talks about it, get the stock.
Well, my thing is, if you see somebody line up in line for something, get the stock.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like Nike.
If you see poor people who don't have money to buy a car line up in line to spend the same amount of money on a car note, but they don't have a car to get something to put on their feet or their body, or to listen to, or like some Beats headphones. I still haven't got the understanding of why they're so special.
The clarity of them.
Okay, I don't know because I haven't bought a pair yet. Because I don't believe in
headphones.
I'm gonna
actually buy a pair, and I'm gonna buy the other the ones like you can use in the gym too. Like I said, but see, when I'm saying I'm going to buy them out of my side money. I don't buy it out of the money I use to pay my bills for my kids and wife and stuff. That's why I love making
things. I just bought a pair of headphones from Walgreens for $8.99. They sound good.
Oh, no. Like I told my wife, the next one, because see, like for my radio show, for instance, like I said, I bought me a good microphone for that. But like I said, my next one.
Well, see, that's a business investment.
Yeah.
That's different. You not know high schooler who is taking all they love summer job money instead of and put it in the bank and buying shoes. Are you not some guy who, instead of paying for his kids to have clothes, is buying some Jordans instead of paying the rent, you know?
Yeah, all bills are paid before your brother decided to do it. And like I said, I told my wife, I'm investing everything back into what I'm doing. Like say fence, like I said, I need some more equipment, you know, to do some things.
You can write that off.
And if I, you know, choose to, like I say, well, I'll think about, you know, actually starting my business on paper. But my wife told me, she said, don't do that just yet, because you're going to have to start reporting every quarter and paying taxes on it every quarter. So he said, no, I'll keep it as sole proprietor for right now. I said, okay, because her and her mom.
If you're not making that type of money, don't start that, because they're going to think that you're making that type of money and start taxing you like you're making that type of money.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I know eventually.
Because I have a few T-shirt lines that I'm trying to get off the ground, and I'm staying in the sole proprietorship until I at least make $1 million. Once I make $1 million, then I will be LLC, you know, I will incorporate or whatever you need to do.
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, my thing is, like, you know, with my website, when I get, you know, like I said, 'cause I bought the domain name, I got the hosting and everything, like I said, I just, you know, wait until the end of the month and, you know, to go ahead and pay my guy to get it going. And, you know, start working on it, I'm going to say. You know, like, I got so many things going on I spend money on, dude. Like I said, I got, you know, my, you know, lady working on my marketing mm-hmm. proposal, so I get relevant advertising for this show. I mean, I got all kind of things I'm working on. I'm not your, like I said, your average everyday brother think you're playing around. I'm
mm-hmm.
always learning, how can I make money? How can I do this? How can I do that? Because
hey,
I want
like you said on many of your shows, I'm the same way. I've been working in a white collar position for the last 5 years. Prior to that, I worked in what you call a blue collar position for about 6 years. And before that, odd jobs, part time jobs, whatever. And I've noticed I'm not getting rich. I'm getting somebody else rich. And guess what else? I'm relying on another man to support my family. I'm relying that when I go to this man, he's going to fulfill the agreement he told me that he's going to pay me. And a lot of people, I'm sad to say, they went to that man and that man did not fill that agreement. You worked and guess what? Now you can't get paid. Or guess what? There's no more job for you. And you spent all these years for that man instead of for you. So that's why and plus I'm not trying to poison my children. I want my children to create jobs for themselves. Because by the time they get older, it's not going to really be any job. If the lady at my McDonald's down the street is 65, that job is supposed to be for high school and teenagers. High school and college kids.
Exactly.
That's not supposed to be for her.
I say exactly. More of our people, you know, definitely need to go into business. But with that said, I got about 2 minutes left before I have to wrap this show up. I want to thank everyone for listening to the show. Like I said, we started off talking about welfare and personal responsibility. But, you know, with the welfare debate, you're always going to have people talking about that. But it's best just to do for self. Be self-made. Do it all on your own. And don't be the gum on the bottom of nobody's shoe. Because, I mean, what kind of honor is it in that? I mean, at the end of the day, when you're trying to beg people for crap. Well, I appreciate everyone listening. We got a, you know, show coming next week. It's going to be more so, I guess, a Christmas theme. We'll do something a little different. I guess I'm going to do the music thing probably next week. Just because it's Christmas and I got to catch a flight, I think, with the following day because I'm going out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, make sure you catch Ratchet Video Weekly Episode 3 coming to my YouTube channel this Friday. I shot it today. It's already prepared to go, but it won't be released until Friday. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, The Advice Show TV. Follow me on Twitter, The Advice Show, and Facebook.com, The Advice Show. And thank you for listening. Appreciate the time. And until next week, y'all take care of yourself. And, you know, thank you, brother, for joining me as well.
You know it. You have a safe flight.
Oh, yeah, well, that's not until, I think, the follow. What is that?
Well, I won't talk to you probably until then, so you have a safe flight.
Yeah, the 20th. Yeah, that won't be till the 24th. But I think I'll do
but
a show
I'll
on the 23rd.
But I'll see you on YouTube.
Yeah, all right. Well, everybody take care, and thank you for listening.
All right, can I plug my thing?